Let us pray for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of His Word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You once again and ask that You would please fill us, feed us, and nourish us with the Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to see Him as He is in glory. We thank You that now we can see Him truly with our eyes of faith. We look forward to the day when we shall see Him with these eyes renewed. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. If you turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians 13. And we will just read verse 12. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12, hear now the word of our God. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this afternoon we come to a very special passage. A passage that I've been wrestling with and meditating on since my senior year of college, which now is 12 years ago. And I hope that this Christmas it is a passage that greatly endears itself to you as well. In our text, Paul mentions mirrors. And the Corinthians would have been very familiar with this picture because it was one of the major industries of the city of Corinth, was making mirrors, but of course they did not make them out of glass, they made them out of metal, out of bronze or gold or things like that. And you can imagine that such a mirror would be less clear than even our glass mirrors. And so they would have understood that to see someone in a mirror was good and can tell you certain details of a person, but that it was not the same as seeing a person in person. We know this when we video chat with family that's far away. Yes, we can see their person, but it's not as good as seeing them in person. We're seeing their reflection, but we're not seeing them in their fullness. And Paul is saying that yes, in the gospel we are truly given Christ. We do see Him as He truly is, but we only see Him as in a mirror. We don't yet see Him in person. As it were, yes, we get to talk to Him now over Zoom or FaceTime, but there will be a time when we will see Him in person. So the Jesus that is given to us in the Bible is the real and whole Jesus, but we still don't see all of Him. We also see in this passage that Paul uses that word dimly. Now to make a metal mirror especially, but even a glass mirror, or even you can think of a camera on a phone, what's essential to having a good picture? Light. You need light. It's essential to make the picture or reflection come through. And so Paul there again is getting at another aspect of the lesser state we are in this life, and the greater state of the life to come. We are given light from Christ Himself and from the Holy Spirit to see Christ in the Scriptures and in our lives. But how much greater will that light be in glory? It's like when you're driving at night, the headlights sure do help you see, but it's nothing like driving in the day. where you can look around and see everything in clarity. We have the light right now, for sure, but how much brighter will that light be in glory to see all of Christ? Now you may be wondering, what does this verse have to do with love, which is what Paul has been talking about? Well, it should not be too hard to figure out and connect the dots here. If you love someone, you want to be with them. And what we are reminded of here in striking detail is that we are already with our God, and that there is a time when we will be with Him in greater intimacy than ever before. And we are also reminded in this passage that our God wants to be with us far more than we want to be with Him. Certainly, how vast is God's love for us in Christ, beyond our mind to comprehend and even our hearts to feel. To come at this in a slightly different way now, one of the great beauties of the birth of Jesus, the incarnation, is that God became man. And you say, yes, Pastor, I know that. I've heard that 1,000 times. But just think about the immensity of that. God the infinite became finite. The Creator took upon Himself creatureliness. Emmanuel, God came down to be with us. God came down to become one of us. This is a mystery. And an amazing truth. Calvin comments that as Jesus was lying in the manger as a helpless infant, He was also at the same time upholding the entire universe by His almighty power. The incarnation is awesome. God with us. God among us. Think of the contrast, even as we think about the Old and New Testaments. Think about the great contrast that's given before the time of Christ's coming and the time of Christ's coming and the time after Christ's coming. Remember what Moses saw in God while he was on Mount Sinai. In Exodus 34, 6 and 7, we read, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" Moses could only see the back of God, and that is what he saw. And the glory of God that Moses saw on that mountain made his face shine so brightly that the Israelites had to ask Moses to put a veil over his face because it was too bright for them. Even as Moses was just a reflection. But you remember that in Exodus, Moses, he was never allowed to see the face of God. And yet what glory and awesomeness did Moses see on that mountain, seeing the glorious attributes of God manifested before him just in the back of God. This glory is so overwhelming that in the Old Testament, that when we read of anyone coming into contact with God, even as he mediates and veils himself to them, what do? They all fall down on their faces flat in awe of God. Even the angels, who are created to be in the presence of God all the time are created in such a way as to shield their faces from the glory of God, as you read in Isaiah 6, that the angels must shield their faces with two of their wings, for they are but creatures in the presence of the infinitely glorious God. And yet, brothers and sisters, this is the glory of the incarnation. God came down. In Jesus' first coming, His divinity was veiled in His humanity for sure. We know of one moment in particular when Jesus' divinity peeked through the veil in His earthly life, and that was, of course, the Mountain of Transfiguration. But now that Christ is resurrected and ascended, and when we are resurrected and glorified, we will see the fullness of divine glory in the physical form of the Lord Jesus. What Moses could not see, we all will see. Notice what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 20. He, that is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself. By Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Notice there that it is the fullness of divine glory that is seen in the Lord Jesus. Paul makes this point even clearer in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6, where we read, "For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We already behold Him. We already see Him now with our eyes of faith. But there will be a day when we will see the fullness of divine glory in the face of Jesus Christ with these eyes remade. It is in Christ that we see the fullness of divinity. Now we see it as in a mirror dimly, which is far better, certainly, than what the saints in the Old Testament had. Which is why the author of Hebrews starts his epistle in verses 1 and 2 of chapter 1 with God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds. Why is that so much better? Well, because of course Jesus is God, and who better to reveal God to us than the one who is God? And who better to communicate to mankind than the one who is also man? The one who can sympathize with our weaknesses. And so in Jesus' first coming, we certainly see the fullness of divine glory, but it's only dimly. And I don't say that to mean like, oh, it's only dimly. I mean, we should look at that word that Paul uses there, we only see as in a mirror dimly. We should see that as, I can see Him so gloriously now.
What awe and wonder awaits us. If I can see the love and the grace and the mercy and the patience and the kindness and the goodness and the faithfulness of my God now, how much more will I see Him in glory? This is why we have to be resurrected and glorified in the same way that Jesus was and is, because our broken, crumbling bodies and our unresurrected humanity can't handle being in the presence of the fullness of God. You and I all know we have limits, and our limits are quite limited. We need to be glorified in order to be in the presence of the glorious Savior. And that is exactly what we have in the gospel. That is what we await. And so in Jesus' first coming, as I said, we certainly see the fullness of divine glory. But it's only dimly. But we shall see Him as He is, face to face. God is so perfectly mediated to us in Jesus, and we will be so perfectly glorified in Jesus that we will be able to see Him with an unveiled face. With an unveiled face. Not even the seraphim can do that. That is the glory that awaits us. That is the intimacy that we will have with our God forever. But as we think about Christ's first coming, and we do truly see Him as He is, though dimly, we do see something in Him that is truly magnificent in our passage. Because yes, we see Him as divine. We see Him as the God-man, our glorious Savior. But notice what Paul says, that there will come a day when I will know, even as I am known. The tenses of those words are really important. Our full knowing of God has not yet come. But Jesus, past tense, already knows everything about us. That is why Jesus is so beautiful to us. Because He knows everything about us, sin included, and still loves us and is a trusted friend. In Proverbs 18:24, we read, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Who is the friend that is certainly friendly to us and who sticks closer, or more literally clings tighter to us, than a brother? Well, it is our elder brother and our truest friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing is more beautiful in a relationship and friendship than when two people know every detail about each other. All their faults, all their struggles, all their failings, all their annoying personality traits and character flaws, all their sins. There is, of course, no human friendship in which all of this is known. We don't even know it all ourselves. We don't know all the sins we've committed in our lives. But in earthly friendships, it's certainly a special thing when you can open up about some of your most
embarrassing and secret sins and failures, and know that the person will not leave you, but will love you still. In fact, will love you more simply because you opened up to them and displayed trust in them. And while we certainly can experience that on an earthly level, we who believe in Jesus will all experience it in and with Him. You can go to Him and confess your most grotesque sins and your most evil thoughts and deeds and know He will never love you less. He will never love you less. For that is the kind of person that He is. And He has proven Himself to be that kind of person to every single one of us, because He already knows all of our sins and He went already to the cross to pay for them. Brothers and sisters, the God of all the universe, the God who dwells in inapproachable light, is your friend. He's your friend. We live in a day and age in which, while with the helpful use of technology we seem to be more connected to people than ever before, all the surveys show that people feel more alone than ever before. I'm not going to diagnose to you and psychologize with you why that would be the case. There's a lot of reasons, I think. But Jesus is our friend. And if Jesus is our friend, who else do we need? As David says in Psalm 27, though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. What a friend we have in Jesus. And I hope and pray that during this Christmas season, we would appreciate the friendship that we have with God, the friendship that we have with Christ. He went to the cross because He loved us. He went to the cross as our dearest friend when we were still His enemies. Can you grapple that? Can you understand that? Well, all we can in part. But there will be a day when we will know even as we are known. There will be a day when we will see the fullness of divine glory and the perfect heart of our Savior, just as He knows ours. And believe me, when we look at His heart and we see it in fullness, we'll only ever want to sing His glory forever and ever. For as we considered this morning, it is wider, it is longer, it is deeper, and it is higher
the love of Jesus than we could possibly imagine. Brothers and sisters, our God the one who dwells in inapproachable light, the Lord Jesus Christ is our friend, and He bids you now and always come and see. Come and see the love that I have for you. See it in my face. See it in the holes in my hands and feet inside. Now, with your eyes of faith, come and see. But there will be a day when you will see with these eyes remade. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, the glories of your grace are far beyond our minds to comprehend or even our hearts to feel. And we ask, O Lord, that we, though broken and empty pots, that we, O Lord, would be filled with the love of Christ, and that we would be used by you, O Lord, to bring worship to your name, but also to share the love of Jesus with each other and with the world. O Lord, help us to see day by day the glorious face of our Jesus, our Savior, the one who came to die for us. Help us always to love Him and to love you, our Heavenly Father, and to love the Holy Spirit. We know that we can only do that if we are first loved by you. And so we ask, O Lord, please fill us. And would you be pleased, O Lord, to fill us overflowing. And ask that you would help us to see now with our eyes of faith the Lord Jesus in His purity, in His beauty, and in His glory. But also long, O Lord, for the day when we shall see Him as He is, face to face, in glory. We pray all this in His precious name. Amen.